So what happens next? Like when I watch those videos, we've been watching this little girl continue to grow up from preschool to elementary to middle school and then to high school. The question I ask is, what happens next? And the reason I ask it is because I've got four kids at home, and my oldest three are girls. I'm watching that video going like, man, what happens when my kids are there? Are they ready to go? Like, are they ready to leave? Did I prepare them well enough? Like, what does that look like? And for many of you, maybe you're asking that same question. Maybe you have a little, you know, a human adult that's not quite there yet in your house that's about to leave. Or maybe you've got a niece or a nephew, you've got a granddaughter. Maybe you're looking forward to the day when you have kids. And the question we had to answer is what happens next? And this morning, as we wrap up our Family Matters series, we're actually going to talk about God's plan for passing our faith on to our kids. Like, what is that supposed to look like? And so we're going to talk to parents. And here's what I know, though, is that for many of you, that you'd say, like, hey, I'm not a parent, or I used to do that thing, and I don't anymore, my kids are out of the house, or, you know, so you're still kind of a parent, but not in the same way, or whatever. Or some of you would be saying, like, hey, that's not me, I don't plan on having kids, I don't want to have kids, or maybe I'm just not that age yet, or whatever. And your temptation was going to be to say, like, okay, so this is just for you people, not for me, I don't have to worry about this one right now. And what I would say is, and let me give you the bottom line for the day, is simply this, is parents pass faith onto their kids, but they shouldn't do it alone. And this they shouldn't do it alone part is the part that I'm gonna ask you to tune into and to be a part of, because we're gonna talk to you and what does God have planned for our church and what does that look like? Because unfortunately, let me give you some statistics, and statistics are great in some ways and other ways they aren't, and I hate it when people just ran out some statistics, but we're gonna look at some stats today because the stats aren't good. When it comes to what happens to our kids when they walk out that door, like we saw in that video, the statistics are not in our favor as a church nationwide. In fact, Lifeway Research did a study in 2011, and they said that let me read this, I don't want to get exact here. 7 in 10 Protestants age 18 to 30, both evangelical and mainline, who went to church regularly in high school. So they were with us. This isn't people that are outside of our church. They went to church regularly in high school, said they quit attending by age 23. 70% that are here already. This doesn't count the ones we haven't reached yet, 70%. And here's another one that's even worse and when you look at it. And it's this. So a guy named David Kinnaman wrote a book, and the book's called You Lost Me, Why Young Christians Are Leaving the Church and Rethinking Faith. And in the book, one of the stats that he talks about, and this is a big one, nearly 6 out of every 10 young Christians disconnect from their churches after the age of 15. What happens when you turn 16? What do you have access to? A car, right? You get your driver's license, and at that point, you begin to get freedom that you haven't had before. Your mom and dad can't drag you to where they want you to go as much, and you begin to choose, is this something that I want to do? Is this something I want to be a part of or not? And nationwide, the statistics, 6 out of 10 are going to leave the church. They're going to disconnect from their faith, they're going to disconnect from the church, and they're going to walk away. And the question that I want us to wrestle with and talk through, I hope that stat, if we can pull that stat back up again, I want this stat to ring in your heads when you leave today. Because here's the deal, and there's hope, okay? So don't worry, we're gonna get to the hope side of things because I'm not gonna leave you just hanging on this. We're gonna talk about what we do differently and why and what we think can make this not true here at the Ridge. Because our goal as a church, our goal as parents, is we don't wanna have one of these six, right? Our goal as a church is that this isn't a six, that we see that number declining and going the other way. And the question that we're gonna answer simply is this, is how do we correct that? And I believe God's word has a lot to say about that, and we're gonna look at that, okay? So let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into God's word this morning. Jesus, I thank you that you are the hope of the world. God, that we do have, that we have life in you. And God, I thank you for parents that are here today, and for aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews, God, for grandparents. God, I pray that we as a church, God, would see this as a problem that's our problem, that's our issue, not just for parents, God, but as a church, how can we rally around this? God, we pray that you would allow us, God, to be faithful, to pass our faith on, to pass our love for you on to the next generation. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at this. And so here, now real quick, let me say this too to parents, because I know we have this stat, and again, I'm going to come reference that again. But what this is not going to be, there's two things, okay? Because A, I actually asked, Pastor Tim allowed me to speak this morning, and so I asked for this, and it was one of those things I asked for, and I was like, oh, crud. Like, now I've got to tell people about parenting, and it's not something that I have down. Like, it's one of those things that I don't come to you as one who has all this perfected. And the other thing that we're not going to do this morning is we're going to give you this list of things that heaps guilt and a burden on you and be like, oh, here's all the ways that you're failing as a parent. Yay. Isn't Jesus awesome? Now, you know, so because that's not what God has intended for us, okay? But we do want to look at and say, okay, what did God, how did God design this? How did he make this? And so when you walk away, I just want to give you some tools and some things that, hey, as parents, this is kind of our job and our role. So we're going to look at a very famous passage. You've probably heard it before if you've been in church. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so before we get to that, though, let me set the story up for you. All right, so Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, is actually this speech that Moses, you might remember Moses from the Red Sea. He parts the Red Sea. He's the one that says, you know, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh says no. And then God says, no, really, it's going to happen. Plagues, all that kind of stuff. Then they go into the wilderness and the Israelites disobey God. And so God has them wander around the wilderness for 40 years, which you can read all about that in the book of Exodus. By the way, it's a fun story. I mean, fun's relative, but it's a great story. It's about God's faithfulness to his people. And there's some hard things that the people of Israel do. So anyways, they get to the point where finally God says, okay, it's time to go to the promised land. And Moses actually is gonna hand off his leadership to a guy named Joshua. But before he does that, he gives this speech to the nation of Israel. And they're about to go into the promised land. They're about to do these awesome things, and God's gonna go before them, and they're gonna take hold of this promise that they've been waiting for years. And Moses begins this speech, and he tells them, or he reminds them of the commandments of God. He goes through like the Ten Commandments and the things that God's done for them. And then he gets to this part where he speaks to families. All right, it's Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're gonna read it, and it says this. It says, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. God's plan for passing our faith on to our children is mom and dad. Like you or like your parents, you're the plan. Like when God says, hey, what does this look like? He's saying like, hey, you have these two small, tiny humans that will one day be adults, and your job and your role is to pass your faith on to them. And so we're gonna look at just three simple things. Again, you're not gonna walk out of here going like, well, I've never heard that before. This is such new information. But sometimes we need to be reminded of the things that we know to be true to begin to put them in. And so my goal for you as you walk away, parents, is that you just begin to be intentional about how we do this and what this looks like. That you begin to think through, hey, what are some steps that I can take to be more intentional about passing my faith on to my kids? And then as a church, our goal is we're gonna look and say, hey, what does it look like for us as a church to partner with parents? Because one of the things that we do here as a church, and I'll get into the text in just a second. One of the things that we do here as a church, though, is our main goal is to partner with parents. And the reason for that is because as a church, we embrace this thing called Orange. All right, and so where this orange comes from is this, and you may have heard this before, but we believe the church is represented by the light of the world, right? We get about 40 hours in a given year, okay? Think about that, 40 hours in a given year if with kids that regularly come to our church. We get 40 hours, light of the world, yellow, okay? The eighth grade art will come handy here in just a second, okay? So then we go to families, warm hearts of families, the color red. Families get about 3,000 hours with your kids, all right? Who's got to have the greater influence in that? Mom and dad, clearly, right? But we believe that the church can impact, is probably one of the greatest influences and impacts on a kid and their family's faith that they can have. And so when you combine those two influences of the warm hearts of families, red, yellow, the light of the church, you get orange, okay? So we think those two influences together will have a greater impact than just either one of them by themselves. And so mom and dad, one of the things that we wanna do is partner with you as a church. And so church, that's one of the questions we wanna ask. It's like, hey, what does it look like for us to partner with parents? How would it come alongside parents? So parents, here's your role though, right? He starts off in verse one. He starts off in verse 4 and 5. He says, listen Israel, or hear O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. If this sounds familiar, it's because this is what Jesus quotes in the New Testament when he talks about what's the greatest commandment. They come to him, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he quotes this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And here's the thing is, if you want to pass your faith on to your kids, you have to have a faith. You have to live out your faith. And same way, so for example, this is a little cheesy, but stick with me. If I wanted to give my kids a replica 1985 DeLorean from Back to the Future that they could drive around when they were 16, in order for me to do that, I have to have one. I don't, by the way. But if I want to hand that down to them and say, hey, look, you can drive this when you're 16, I have to have it. In the same way, you have to have something. You have to have an active living faith that loves God in order to pass that on to your kids. Otherwise, you pass on to them some rules and some regulations. You pass on to them maybe a few habits of things like, yeah, we kind of went to church because it was fun. And what he's saying here is, hey, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Again, this is not a perfectionist thing. This is not like, hey, you have to have it all perfect. One of the best things that you can do for your kids, by the way, is talk to them about the ways that you mess up. When you apologize to your kids, when you say, hey, you know, I'm sorry the way, I raised my voice at you just now and that wasn't right. Like, I know, like, you may have been out of bounds what you were doing, but Dad didn't have a right to do that, you know? And just apologize and say, hey, I messed up in that way. I wasn't honoring God in the way I was talking to you, or I wasn't honoring God in the way maybe I was talking to, you know, your mom. That apologizing, not having a perfect faith will help your kids not to feel like they have to have a perfect faith. So one, you gotta live your faith. Two, prioritize your faith. Verse 6, these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. All right, and so the heart was the center of, in Old Testament thought, the heart was the center of, not just like, we'd use it like heart as like Valentine's Day. In Old Testament thought, it was really, it included much more of the center of who you were, the center of your being. And so it was one of those things that, hey, this is that, as God's word sinks into your heart, as his commands sink into your heart, it begins to help you prioritize your life, that you think through this lens of living faith out, and it becomes a priority. And one of the questions I would ask you as a parent is do you prioritize faith in your household? Does it take precedence over other things, other good things? And I won't spend a lot of time into that, but like, as you order your day, as you prioritize life, how does your faith fit into that? And does it take the true precedence and priority? And then thirdly, talk about faith. Verse 7, repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Like all of, like when are the times that are good to talk to your kids about faith? All of the times. And this is what Moses is saying to them. Like, look, as you're going throughout your day, you know, and there will be times that you formally sit down and talk to your kids and have instructions with your kids, and you talk to them about Bible verses and those kind of things. And that's important to put into kind of the rhythms of your family. And by the way, for those of you that are here, like, one of the things that I've noticed in the, 10 years of parenting, again, some of you are like, 10 years, what a rookie. But in my 10 years of parenting, one of the things that I've noticed is that things change. And so, like, you come up with this system of things that work really good and these rhythm that works really good for your family, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, remember when we were doing that thing and then it didn't work anymore? Like, what? Like, that's gonna change and that's okay. And I think that's one of the things that I love about this verse that Moses talks about, is he just says, hey, make it a part of your day. Make it a part, like when you're driving in the car, are you talking to your kids? Like, is faith a part of that conversation? And so in my house, what this looks like, and again, it changes all the time. Like, it kind of, there's this rhythm, we kind of got some checkpoints along the way, but like one of the things that we do is, like, we watch TV with our kids. And when we watch TV with our kids, a lot of times one of the things I love about the way we watch TV these days, because it's, usually through some kind of streaming service or whatever, is there's an opportunity to pause and just to stop and say, hey, did you see what just happened there? Like, how does that line up with our values? Does that line up with what God would have us to be about and God would have us to do? I remember there was one time we were watching this reality TV show, and there was this husband, like, literally just berating his wife because they messed up on some challenge or something. Like, and I paused TV and I said, girls, if you ever go, are with a guy or hanging out with a guy, like one day when you're like 35 or 40, like if you're ever hanging out with a guy and he starts to treat you like this, or you see him treat somebody else like this, I said, you need to go the other way. I said, because this is not God's design for how we treat and talk to women. This is not how God designed this. This is not good. And so, so we just have moments like that where we're stopping again, and we just say, there's sometimes where they'll say a word or something on there, like, hey guys, we don't talk like that. That's not the kind of language we use. That's not what we do in our house. The other day we were at the planetarium, at WVU. They put on a show every couple weeks, I think. They did an amazing show. I learned a lot. I hadn't looked at science since like eighth grade, I think. Eighth grade's popular today, I don't know why. Anyway, but Like, one of the things that I learned and that I was reminded of is how small we are compared to the sun. Like, they show this big, huge graphic about that, and they're like, it was just like, oh, this is so amazing, and just learning about the awesome and wonder about how awesome God's creation is and the universe and that kind of stuff. But in the presentation, the gentleman that was given it came from a different perspective than what we would as a Christian. And he talked about the Big Bang and how when the universes were created and the Big Bang and all this stuff. And in my head as a dad, I'm going like, we don't believe that. Like, that's not the way I would say that. And so we get in the car and I ask my kids like, hey, what was your favorite part? Tell me about that. Like, tell me what you loved. And so they talked about Jupiter and the sun and how Pluto's not a planet anymore. It's this big moon thing. I don't know. It's like, I forgot about that part. But so anyways, but so they talked about their favorite parts and different things that they liked about it. And I said, hey, there was the one part where he talked about creation and how the planets came into existence. What do we believe about that? What does that look like in our house? Like what would we say how that happened? And my kids were like, oh, God made the planets. God, and my oldest being the A student, kind of nerdy that she is, she's like, actually, God spoke them into existence, didn't he? And I was like, yes, he did. You're right, he did. Like, I was like, good job. And I said, hey, you know, and so she kind of went on in this thing about like, she said, yeah, we disagree with them, but we can be nice to them. I was like, that's right. I said, when we disagree with somebody, we're nice to them. I said, but we have a different perspective about how things came into existence. I was like, science has a lot of great things for us to learn from and talk about, but there's times when we just disagree about some of the origins of things or some theories about different things. And it was a teachable moment, a time where we got to sit back and I got to say like, hey, are my kids, like, how are we doing with this? And like, okay, like I felt like, all right, we got a parent win in there. Like they knew like, hey, this is different than what we believe, great. But we get to just talk with your kids as you're going away, that you help them see things through a biblical perspective, see things through the way God would look at them and the way God would have us to see them. All right, as I was doing some research on this, one of the things I came across is this study. And I found this to be fascinating because this is basically them back in God's word. Before I do, one of the things that we want to do, for some of you, you might be saying, hey, that's great that you can have those conversations with your kids. I don't know what that looks like. One of the ways that we partner with you as a church is we have this app, and feel free to take your phone out and download. This is at the app store. You can do this right now in church. I'm giving you permission to be on your phone if you're not already for your Bible, because I'm sure that's why you have it out. But I don't know why you're laughing. In any of the stores, there's this app called the Parent Cue. And it goes with the curriculum that we use. And in that, you can see the memory verse that we use in your kids' classroom this month or today. You can see you can watch if we use a video in the thing, you can watch the video that we watch with your kids. It has the memory verses and it gives you some questions, some things to talk about with your kids. It cues you as a parent. It's one of the ways that we want to partner with you. And so in that, you can put put each of your kids in that. It'll tell you how much time you have left with them so that you'll make the most of the time, not so that you'll be sad and cry because they're leaving. But it's saying, hey, I've only got a little bit amount of time left with my kids. I want to make the most of that. So the Parent Cue app, please download that, subscribe to that. And again, it's totally free, all right? So there's this study that they did, and they being the University of Southern California, not a religious organization. They put out a book, and it's called Families and Faith, How Religion is Passed Down Across Generations. Okay? So 35-year study, they looked at not just the Christian faith, but lots of faiths about how is faith transmitted from parents to kids. And this is what they found. I think it goes really, it's one of those things that's like amazing. God's word is actually true and the scientists study it, it comes true. Number one thing they found, parents continue to be the single greatest influence on a children's faith. Mom and dad, I cannot emphasize this enough to you. And especially, like, we get this when they're in preschool, we kind of get this in elementary, and as they go to middle school and high school, we feel like, because our kids are gaining independence, which, by the way, is normal and natural, but we feel like they're going away from us. And in fact, so the, you know, research tells us, not only this research, but also, like, MTV, back when it was actually a thing and popular. I remember they did a study and saying, like, hey, who's the most popular influence? Who's the biggest influence in your life when it comes to all these different subjects? And parents always come back number one. Mom and dad, you're the single greatest influence in your kid's life, even when you don't feel like you are, it's true. Two, when a child sees and hears that faith actually makes a difference in mom and dad's lives, they're much more likely to follow suit. 35 years of research, and this is what they come to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It makes a difference. Three, young adults are more likely to share their parents' religious beliefs and participation if they feel like they have a close relationship with those parents. What this one means is that your relationship with your kid matters as much as the information that you share with them. So information, so just biblical knowledge in and of itself is useful, but it's not as useful as if it's as it would be as if it's in the context of a relationship. So parents, when you have a close relationship with your kids, when you foster that relationship with your kids, it matters, it makes a difference, which leads me to my next verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. We're in the 6:4s today. I wish I was 6:4, but I'm not. So anyways, another side note there. But Ephesians 6:4 talks to dads. It says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And so dads, I just wanna talk to you for just a minute. All right, so before I get into this, moms, you're important. You get a whole day to yourself next week, okay? But dads, the Bible specifically instructs us and instructs you to take this role seriously. And one of the things, I've been in ministry 20 years doing student ministry and family ministry, and one of the things I've seen is when a dad takes their faith seriously, it makes a huge ripple effect in the family. And the other thing that this talks about says, dads, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. Another translation says, don't provoke your children. Dads, we have an ability within us to, the way we talk to our kids, the way we relate to our kids, it can be antagonistic or it can be warm and loving. And when we choose to make it warm and loving, if you read the second part of the verse, it says, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Like disciplining your kids, helping them have boundaries, setting rules in your house, that's part of your job. So don't hear me saying like, oh, you can't do this. But I'm saying cultivating a warm relationship with your kids will serve them and serve you well. And it will make a huge difference in that. Here's the thing I go back to all the time is if you read through the Bible, the picture that we have of God is of a heavenly what? Father, right? When your kids read the Bible and they think of their father, they're gonna think of you, Dad. What are they gonna think of? Dad, are they gonna think of someone that loves them and cares about them? Maybe he was stern at times, maybe he was strict with me in some other areas, but I knew at the end of the day that he loved me, he cared about me. Dads, you get to set the picture and the tone of how your kids view God. And take that seriously. That same 35-year study came to this conclusion. They said this about, and again, this is one of those things where I just love it when it's like people do research and find out like, oh wait, what God says is really true. Huh, who knew? But this is what they said. The authors write, particularly important according to our data is the role of a father's warmth. Parental piety, religious role modeling, setting a good example will not compensate for a distant dad. So dads, if you just bring your kids to church every week but you don't have a relationship with them, it's not gonna have the same impact. That information without relationship is not as impactful. All right, so we talked about that church. I said that I wasn't gonna leave you hanging on just the 6 and 10. All right, but so just to kind of remind you, six out of 10 students, according to some of the research, are gonna leave faith by when they get a driver's license, they're gonna walk away from the church. But that's true for the church as a whole. But that doesn't mean that every church is that way. So Fuller Youth Institute, which is a seminary out in California, they have a research team led by Kara Powell. They put out a book called Growing Young in 2016. It's a good book. It's an academic book, so just know that. But it's worth, if you're interested in it, it's worth the read. And so what they did is they looked at 360 churches that they felt like were actually making a difference in the lives of young people, that students were actually continuing on in their faith past high school, that they were having success and seeing young people continue on in their faith. And they began to ask those churches, they began to ask those students, hey, what made a difference? And so there was a lot of conclusions, a lot of things they came to, but there's two that were really important that I want to share with you this morning. Because they shape the way that we do ministry, minister to families and students. And I use that term students to go all the way down through preschool, by the way, at times. So if I say that, know that I'm talking about kids and students as well. So they said this. They said they found two things. One, that students that walked in their faith after high school, they had meaningful relationships with two or more adults in their church. That the students that were active in their faith after high school, that when they left, they either found another church or they stayed active in the church that they were a part of, that one of the things that they pointed back to was the fact that they had significant, meaningful relationships with adults that were not mom and dad in their church. Two, they felt like they had significant roles to play in their church, meaning that they had places where they went that it mattered whether they showed up, that they had a role. And sometimes that could be like that they were operating the soundboard. Sometimes it was they were a small group leader in the kids ministry. Sometimes it was they were part of the adult worship band, that they had an active role where they knew, like, if I don't show up this week, it's going to matter. Someone's going to notice if I'm not here. And so what does that mean for us as a church? So one of the things that it means for us is going to that second point is that it matters. Like, one of the things that you'll notice throughout our church, one of our goals in our student ministry is that we actively think that that part of the discipleship process is putting students in places that have significant roles. That's why when you walk down our preschool and elementary halls, you'll see high school and middle school students serving in those ministries. That's a student ministry strategy, not just a preschool elementary strategy. Like, we intentionally want to place them in those roles. We intentionally want to help them find those places. The second thing it means, going back to those relationships, is it's important that, and this is where church you come in, it's important that students connect with people that are outside of just mom and dad to grow in their faith. That if we want to curb this 6 out of 10 people leaving by the time they're age 15, that we have to set up environments where significant relationships can happen. And that's why one of the things that we're actively doing, we're already implementing this in a lot of our areas, is we're making it so that every kid and every student has a caring leader and a consistent group of peers. That when they show up on Sunday mornings or on Tuesday nights, that there's an adult that knows who they are. There's an adult that knows when they're not there, that misses them, that cares about them, that gets to know mom and dad, that can begin to build that relationship. Because we know that the best thing that we can do to partner with parents is to give them a person, not just a program. And so what I'm going to ask you as a church to do is to begin to ask that question of, hey, what does it look like for me to show up in the life of a kid? What does it look like for me to show up in the life of a teenager? What does it look like? Like, maybe God might be calling me to say, you know what, I can take 6 to 10 kids and say, this is going to be my few, and I'm going to run with them for this next year. I'm going to help them see somebody with skin on. So in our own life, my daughter Addison, when she was 2 years old, she was in a small group. She was turning 3, and her birthday came up, and she said, hey, who do we want to invite to that? And she named off a couple of her friends, and she said, oh, yeah, and can Mr. Jace come? Mr. Jace was her small group leader who happened to be a freshman in high school. And I was like, man, I don't know, he's kind of busy, but yeah, we'll see if Mr. Jace can come. So Mr. Jace shows up, and he brings her this little teddy bear that she still has sitting in her room today. She's 8. And Mr. Jace was an important part. Like, she saw as a 2-year-old, hey, like, this guy that shows up every single week, he's an important part of who I am. He says some of the, and here's the deal, because what happens is parents need a second voice in the life of their kids. That it's, again, it's mom and dad, parents, it's your primary role. You pass faith onto your kids. They're going to catch it from you. It's the best place for them to catch their faith is from you. But you shouldn't do it alone. Kids need a second voice because they need somebody else who isn't telling them to pick up their room or isn't telling them that they have to be home on time for curfew, that isn't telling them some of the things that as parents we have to put in those places, but they're gonna tell them some of the same things that you would say it. And they're gonna say some of the same things like, hey, it's important to love God. But when they hear it from this other person, they look at, you know, like when a middle schooler, you know, sees a high school or college student or even a mom or a dad, they think, man, they're cool, they're fun, and they tell them about who God is and they show them God with skin on. Like in my own life, Kendall Pierce was my 7th grade small group leader. And I hate to share this story because I'm like, man, you're not going to want to serve in middle school. But like, he was my 7th grade small group leader and we ridiculed him all the time. Like, we would make fun, like, he memorized the whole book of James, like 5, 6 chapters in James. I should know that. I think it's 5. But he memorized the entire book of James, and he would, like, quote it to us as kind of, like, trying to teach us, and we would just be like, you said A, and it's actually N. Sorry, you're wrong. And, like, just being, like, but here's what I remember. Like, here's what I got out of that, is I couldn't tell you any of the lessons. I remember that he memorized the book of James, which was pretty awesome. But what I remember about Kendall Price, he loved Jesus. He loved us. And he wanted us to love Jesus. And there's Kendall Price and Bob Ryan and Brian Cody, and I can name people in my life that stepped in. Again, my mom had us in church every Sunday, and she's who I would tell you got my faith from. But having this second voice is probably one of the reasons I'm standing here today, is because I had other people that were encouraging me and walking with me in my faith. So this morning, as we walk away and as I'm wrapping up, I would just simply challenge you with this. As mom and dad, are you doing those 3 things? Are you talking about your faith? Are you prioritizing it? Are you living out? In church, how are you partnering with parents? Who is it? Because here's the thing I hear all the time from people is when we sit down for coffee or whatever, man, I wish I could make an impact in somebody's life. I wish I could make a difference. What would that look like? And let me tell you what it would look like. It would look like saying, you know what, I'm gonna take an hour and a half out of my week every week and I'm gonna show up in the life of a kid. I'm gonna make it a priority. I'm gonna make a difference. I'm gonna be that person. If you were here last week and you watched the baptisms of Jacob and Maria, they're two of our high school leaders. They're in college now, and they pointed back to like, and when you hear their stories, you're like, yeah, like small group leaders were a big deal. They were a big part of the reason I'm here. My parents were a big part of it, and then but we had small group leaders in the church that walked alongside us as guys or walked alongside us as girls, and they showed up in my life and they showed me who Jesus was and they made a difference. So mom and dad, what would it look like if you could introduce your kids to other people of faith? And here's what it would look like. Is parents, I'm asking you to, so one of the reasons we're asking you to fill this out is because we're gonna put your kids in small groups if they show up on a regular basis. We're gonna put them in a small group. And when you show up at the same hour, so it's pick 9 o'clock, pick 11 o'clock, say, hey, you know what? What if when you showed up on Sunday mornings, as cool as it was to hear Tim come preach and to hear our worship band, which is good, what if that was the second reason that you showed up? What if the reason you showed up at the same hour every single week was because you knew your kids were gonna get to interact with somebody else who was gonna talk to them about Jesus and somebody else who was gonna be a second voice in their life who was gonna show them what it looked like to follow Jesus and to love Jesus and was gonna have fun with them, was gonna enjoy being around them, but show them that God matters and that Jesus wants to make a difference in their life. And for some of you, what if you were that person? What if you were that person that said, you know what, I'm gonna show up every week? So here's what, as we leave, parents, one of the things you can do is just fill out this card, drop it off in those boxes. And if you're interested, if you say, you know what, hey, maybe you can be a parent and someone that makes a difference in someone else's life, by the way. And if you're interested in that, we've got some balloons out in the lobby again. If you say, hey, I just want some more information about what that could look like and find a place that might want to do that, come talk to us out in the lobby and we'll get you hooked up and find a place that you can serve and make a difference. Let me pray for you and then we'll be dismissed. Jesus, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that you, God, that you've set things up in a way that does allow, God, that you have a plan and an order and a structure, and that mom and dad really do make a difference in a kid's life. So God, I just pray for the parents that are here this morning, God. I pray that you would give them intentionality, give them, God, just confidence in knowing and resting in who you are and who you've created them to be, God. God, I pray that you begin to create moments for conversations in their lives with their kids about their faith. God, I pray that you would begin to help them to take those intentional steps. God, I pray for just a vibrancy and a livelihood in their own lives, God, that they would grow in their love for you on a daily basis. God, pray for us as a church, God, that we would come alongside parents. God, that we really would take this calling seriously, God, to make a difference in the lives of kids and the lives of students. God, I pray that you would continue to call up new people, God, that would show up every single week in the life of a student or the life of a kid. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.